So we call this Beyond Birthday Cards. As a good way of introduction, it's kind of our little inside joke at our office. I went to a presentation once where the main idea of how to get good follow-up rates was send out birthday cards, because then you'll know if they moved. And that works great, except we realized all it told me is you moved. I still can't get a survey out of you to save my life. So here we're going to talk about two main studies we're doing for the Office of Adolescent Health. The goal of both of them is teen pregnancy prevention programs. We do not run the programs ourselves. We are solely the outside evaluators for these programs. So our job is to keep up with all these kids. One of the programs is in Chicago in a neighborhood called Englewood. Englewood last month was ranked fourth out of the 77 neighborhoods in Chicago for the most violent crime. The Englewood Project has 338 students in it, but we have to follow them for four entire years, no matter if they go to Kentucky. Our job is to find them. They're currently running the Children's Aid Society Carrera program there. Our second program takes place in five northwestern states that you see there. Our N size is quite a bit higher at almost 9,000 students now, and we follow all of those students for 2 years. That program, actually, we are in the middle of following the very last portion of that 9,000 now. Actually, this moment, I think they're at schools. And they're doing the teen outreach program there, which focuses more on community service work. Just to give you a brief overview of what they're actually doing in the schools, excuse me, the Carrera program is an after-school program where the students meet 4 days a week at these schools and have a whole lot of different components, largely depending on the week and everything else they're doing, as you can see them all there. This is mainly in three schools that kind of became four schools, because as the students go into higher grades, that grade's no longer in the school, but those students will come back and meet at a separate place so that they can continue to have the Carrera program even after those schools are done. The Teen Outreach Program is a 9-month-long curriculum where you get 25 sessions, and the goal is to have at least 20 hours of community service learning work, which is basically volunteer placements. There are currently 230 clubs running this program, as well as 230 control groups to compare them with, at 89 sites in 5 states. So we are spread all across everywhere for that. Both studies must meet the HHS standards. They're both randomized control trials, so these are really the main things we have to pay attention to. Our attrition rate can't get too low. We can't lose too many students, or it doesn't really matter what we have to say after that. We also have to make sure our baseline equivalencies stay even, also that we get, and that's both for demographics as well as following the same number of students for both groups. The group assignment has to be maintained, and these are intent-to-treat models, which means once we tell you you're in the program, you're there forever, even if you never showed up to a single class ever. Facilitators love it when you tell them that. For the follow-up rates in the Chicago sample, after their fifth follow-up, which is 3 years now, they are maintaining an 81% follow-up rate. This is despite all of these numbers you see on the bottom, which are the numbers of youth that have transferred out of the school, the number that have moved out of the school that aren't there, that we can never get no matter how many times we show up to that building. And out of those students that have moved, we still have a 63% follow-up rate for this sample. For the Northwest, we're currently running at 82% after 2 years for follow-up rates. Again, we have a lot of students who have transferred or moved or they dropped out and we don't actually know why or what happened to them. And out of those students, we have 56% who completed that survey after 2 years. So the big thing here is how the heck did we do that? One of the things is on every single time we survey, we get as much contact information as we possibly can. This includes, what is your mom's name? How can I reach her? Where does she work? Can I call her at work? Are you on Facebook? What's your mom's email? What's your dad's email? And they'll tell us. Kids will tell you anything. Our other big thing is we needed boots on the ground. We needed data collectors who were in all these things. I don't live in Alaska, so I'm really not going to show up to your school, although that sounds lovely. So we hired staff that were there. In Chicago, we did this by having the school staff recruit one person, and that person told their friends about this cool new job they had, and then we had a bunch more people come in. So that was really quick and easy. In the Northwest, first we advertised on Craigslist, which gave us a good group, and then we did something kind of weird, which was we went to a bar. I needed a bunch of staff that would be willing to make phone calls to all of these students that missed the survey. And so I needed kids who were going to be able to work nights and weekends, which is your college students. So we walked into a bar and said, who wants to make $20 an hour? And we walked out of there with about 8 new staff members. They then recruited their friends. Oh, well, so-and-so can do this 5 hours a week. Can you do 5 hours? So we had a good staff there up and running really quickly. Before data collection, we had the facilitators go in and really talk up. Hey, the surveyors are going to come. You're going to get these incentives. We're going to have a party. This is going to be awesome. Because surveying sounds like so much fun. But if the facilitator's excited about it, the kids will get excited about it and show up. They always promised we were going to show up with cash in hand and slices of pizza. As far as I can tell, a kid will do anything you want for $20 and a slice of pizza. We had our staff call all the students and text them the night before we're going to show up in their schools just to remind them, no, no, tomorrow you're going to get $10. Tomorrow you're going to get pizza. Show up, show up, show up. We also, after the first year, realized the facilitators were running themselves ragged trying to get kids in the door, and they weren't exactly thrilled about that because their job was the program, not this. So we started incentivizing the facilitators. If you get 80% of your kids to show up, I'll give you $100, something like that. That made a huge difference in our numbers moving forward. We also started collecting data on all the dropouts on our weekly attendance forms, which just meant when a kid dropped out, the facilitator put their date and any new information they had on them on that attendance form. That way they didn't have to do separate emails or anything like that. They just got it done and it was sent to me. That automatically put them on a separate list in my office, so we knew to start tracking them right away and see if we could get new information. We also sent home flyers before data collection, literally in the mail, to try and get there the day before or the day before that so they had something paper in their hand they could see. After the first data collection, in the Northwest, our strategy was right as soon as you're done with the survey, go to the office. Ask the office where the kids are. They might not have told you yet that 3 of your kids dropped out and we have all this new information on them. So we got that immediately. If 5 or more students were missing from the entire school, we would immediately go back and do makeups. We'd do that up to 3 times, depending on school size, to make sure we were in there as much as possible. We created 800 numbers the kids could call and linked them to my data collection staff so that their cell phones would ring all the time. And the data collectors, quite honestly, would go to dinners with their families with a stack of surveys just in case. We got a lot of people that way. We created the SurveyMonkey for online access so the kids could get up and do that whenever they wanted. We did reunions in the fall just to collect contact information. We don't need to do a fall survey, but we didn't want to lose them since so many of them move. And so that way we could go in there, give them $10, they remembered us, they'd give us all their contact information so we'd have it for the spring. We used Postal Service mail when we needed to, both to get them a survey and to have them give us a survey back. And that actually worked great. And we asked students to find other students. One day, this worked so well that we didn't realize we had called a house party, and we got 6 surveys out of 1 phone call by Jim simply saying, "Well, do you know John?" Yeah, hold on. John! All of them are together. Very easy. In Chicago, they worked differently. For the Northwest, everybody is spread apart, so going and showing up 1,800 times doesn't do as much for you. In Chicago, all the schools that they were working in are within 1 square mile, so they just showed up to the school as much as possible during lunch times to start with, to get more and more students that way. After that, they went door to door. It was the easiest way, and that created a huge difference. They actually, in Chicago, had a much lower rate of people showing up on day 1, partially just because of the way those school environments are. But going door to door raised their response rate very quickly. Sorry. In both Chicago and the Northwest, we were allowed 3 months to complete all of our follow-up surveys, just so our data collection would remain regular. We don't want to ask 1 kid 6 months later if they've had sex when they've had 6 extra months to have sex. Maybe they have now. After 3 years in Chicago, they were running at an 81% follow-up rate with a 5% differential between treatment and control. And after 2 years in the Northwest, we're running at an 82% follow-up with no differential between treatment and control. Basically, the real thing here is we have 4 main data collection strategies that we can use. We do in-person group data collection first. Show up to the schools, get it done there as much as possible. After that, we'll try in-person individual. Do the makeup with that 1 kid who is straggling. Show up to that 1 kid's door and have that done. Then we start on the phone surveys and get as many students that way. And after that, we'll do the online. We'll also text students the online link so that they can just do it on their phone when they're sitting on the bus doing nothing or wherever. Overall, the real thing here is don't set a number of callbacks and quit. We got asked by another evaluation team once, "Well, how many times are you going to call a kid?" And the answer is, "It depends if I think I can get them." I have called Alaska and been told that student is not going to be here for 3 months. They're hunting. And I went, "Okay, and I'm not going to call you then for 3 more months. That's fine." But there are other students that we have definitely called 15, 20 times and eventually got it on the 21st call. So definitely just keep at it and use a huge range of strategies. And they often might work differently in different environments. What worked in Chicago didn't always work in the Northwest. And what works in the Northwest doesn't work in Chicago. You really have to tailor it for your environment. And that's it. Do you all have any questions?